Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. I'm so excited today to have author and medium Paul Selig on the line with me. Paul's a native New Yorker as well as being the author of many books and a well-known channel and psychic. He's also been a playwright and an educator. His books are channeled from his guides, and I've been absolutely riveted by his book, The Book of Mastery. He has also a new book called The Book of Truth. And I've found it to be really powerful ancient wisdom and truth, sort of teachings about the nature of consciousness and the process of enlightenment. And what I thought was remarkable about it is that how accessible the information, these wisdom teachings, ancient wisdom teachings, it feels like to me, have been made accessible for us modern people, and told in a way that we can all relate to, which I thought was quite brilliant. And Paul makes it look easy. I'm not sure it really is. So he's got this new book called The Book of Truth, and I can't wait to get my hands on that one too. So let's get the conversation started and welcome Paul.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I thought your book was just fabulous.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about how these books came about and what it's like to be a channel for this kind of information.
Well, you know, I don't write the books. My name's on the covers of all of them, but I'm really a conscious channel and I'm taking dictation. So the books people read are actually the written transcripts of the verbal dictations. They're recorded. And it's the unedited transcripts that become the published books. So the guides that I worked with are really delivering the entire text, and I'm just showing up for the sessions. I didn't expect to be doing this. I've been working as a channel for quite some time, but I was doing it very quietly. I was an academic, and I had a full-time career in academia, so I kept a somewhat low profile as a psychic and channel. And then in 2009, my guides turned to somebody in a group that I was running and said, you know, Paul's not going to believe what's coming through him until he sees it written down. And I hadn't been recording or transcribing the sessions until then. I didn't really want to hear myself. I found it uncomfortable to listen to the recording, so I just didn't record. But once I did commit to transcribing, I saw that what was coming through were lectures that were, you know, fully formed, required no editing. I was kind of amazed by that. And shortly thereafter, they said, you know, we have a book to write, and if you take 2 weeks, we'll do it. And I thought that that was probably impossible, but I agreed. And there was a woman on the phone for the first five books, Victoria Nelson, who was the active listener. But I called Victoria, you know, 2 days after the guide said that. And they dictated a book called I Am the Word, which took about 2.5 weeks because I took 2 days off to go teach college. So now the books are what's coming through again and again and again. There are now six since 2000 and whatever it's been, 2010, I think the first one was published. And, you know, there's a new one coming out in August called The Book of Freedom, and the guides are really delivering a series of teachings on the evolution of human consciousness and the embodiment of the divine self. At least that's what they say that they're teaching. And they've been pretty consistent, I think, from book to book to book in building this teaching. So the Book of Mastery that you've read is the first of a trilogy. And the second book, The Book of Truth, is out. And the third book, Book of Freedom, will be out in August this year.
Wow, it's really remarkable. I mean, I write books too, but I do it the hard way.
Yeah.
and it takes years, you know. So the idea of writing a book in 2 weeks, that just flabbergasted me.
Yeah.
It is remarkable too, because it's very poetic. Do you know what I mean? It's very beautifully languaged. And I know you're a writer and, you know, you probably have a mind that thinks in terms of beautiful language anyway, but it's sort of even more remarkable that it's unedited.
Yeah.
It's very beautiful, the writing.
You know, the Book of Truth, I think, was the last book that came out. When that was dictated, it really felt like the book was already written and somebody was reading it to me. The language was so carefully chosen. And when I hear the recordings of it, you hear a real precision in, you know, the word usage. And there's a real clarity. I mean, there's, you know, every book has its own character, but there's really, you know, enormous similarities in the language use and the cadence used, even though, if I'm to understand correctly, the books are dictated by a consortium, a group of guides that are working towards this end. So, I was a playwright when I was younger, and I taught writing for many years, but at the time the books began, I was tremendously blocked. And the idea that a book could be delivered in 2 weeks was, and that anything could be written in 2 weeks was beyond me. And the newest book was dictated, I think it was less than 30 days of sittings. You know, maybe it was 3 weeks worth of sittings. You know, and the sittings can run from anywhere from, you know, half an hour to an hour and a half. And now the books are done publicly before an audience. So the last book was delivered completely in front of students and in workshops around the country, and large portions of the Book of Mastery and I think some of the Book of Mastery and big chunks of the Book of Truth were delivered that way as well. So they're taking every opportunity to teach. And if they have an audience, and I need the active listener to be able to stick to maintain the focus of the channeling, they'll take the opportunity to do it.
I understand that. I'm a psychic too, and have been working as a psychic really since I was 19. So, like you, I've really only ever been a writer and a psychic and a teacher.
Uh-huh.
So I totally I'm just sort of in awe really of how that works for you. And I'm wondering if you can explain, like, I think I understand what the difference that you mean when you say between a channel and psychic, but I'm wondering if you can explain that a little bit.
Well, when I work psychically, I'm primarily a clairaudient and clairsentient or empath. So I'm primarily a medium for the living. So if you want to come to me and you want to say, tell me what's going on in my relationship, and you give me your partner's name, I can step into your partner and I can probably begin to resemble him or her and take on their mannerisms, and I can hear them, and I can hear the both of you on a higher level or on a personality level, and I can sort of sort through what's really going on and what the lessons are and support people and then transformation. I'm not really the guy to talk to your dead aunt. I'll feel her, become her as she was when she was living, and if she wants to come through from where she is, she may. When I'm working psychically, there's interpretation involved. I'm having to read. I have a series of physical symbols and gestures and coded words that mean different things that I work with. So if I step into somebody and I, you know, my tongue comes out of my mouth, that means somebody who's usually dealing with an issue of lust. Or if I'm reading on a relationship and suddenly my hands start making scissors, that usually means the relationship is ending in separation. Mm-hmm. When I'm channeling, I'm literally just taking dictation. That's it, word for word. There's no interpretation. You know, I consider myself a collaborator only in that I'm present for this and I've been known to interrupt. But my job really is to stay out of the way, and so much so that if I start to think that I know where a word or a sentence is going, they'll often switch the words out on me. So, you know, if I were to hear from the guides, why did the chicken cross the, and I would be tempted just to say road because that's what you assume would come, they might say boulevard. You know what
right.
I mean?
Which They're sort keeping of keep you on your toes.
Very much so, and I'm actually grateful for that. I mean, I don't care how articulate I may be. I just really think it's impossible that I could have sat down and dictated 6 books that don't require any editing. You know, I mean, it's just how it seems to work. But I do make the distinction between sort of inspired writing. I think some people call inspired writing channeling, and I think inspiration is a wonderful thing. And, you know, all real creativity and art, I believe, is inspired in some way. But channeling really, for me, is about taking dictation or being the stenographer or the voice of something else that wants to come through. It's not about putting my spin on it or pushing my agenda, you know, sometimes on social media.
It's really
media.
Old school, like Edgar Cayce. You're going old school like he was.
Well, it's not that, you know, Edgar Cayce was asleep. I don't know that if he had any say in it at all. He was out cold for his sessions. And the language that he was using was the language of his religious upbringing. He was a Sunday school teacher, you know. So, but in terms of, I mean, occasionally I see people that are sharing channelings online, and it's sort of current event stuff, and it's conspiracy stuff. And I got to say, I don't know that that's channeling. I think that may be psychic information that's coming forth. And we can access psychic information from different levels. You know, my grandma, who was a nice woman, was married 6 times or something crazy like that. She's probably not who I would want to listen to from the other side about relationship advice, you know, but, you know, we can be tuning into any level. So, you know, I'm pretty specific in the work that I do with the guides that I work with, and I don't, you know, I don't make world predictions, and I don't read on, you know, current events in ways that are, I think, direct. But the guides really approach all this stuff through their teachings in very specific ways, which surprises me. But they tend to veer away from the pop culture of the day, I think, is the source. And that's why perhaps you suggested that the teachings feel old. I mean,
they have a timeless feeling. They have a timeless feeling about them.
I think they do too. I mean, the guides say they don't use the language of science because the language of science is always dated.
Right.
You know, when you hear about people saying, I had a download from spirit last night, and, you know, 25 years ago, nobody knew what a download was.
Right.
But if you look at the rise of spiritualism, you know, in the last century, century before that even, was the days of the telegraph, and people were doing table tappings, which was, you know, the same system.
Right.
So, you know, the guides just work how they work through me, and because I'm not a trained medium, I really can't compare how I work to other people, because I don't even know if I'm doing it right. I just show up and hope I can hear clearly.
I was really intrigued by your own voice in the text. Because you come across as sort of a skeptical, in a way, of your own, what's even, you know, the information that you're channeling. And I think it's interesting to be skeptical. I appreciate and admire skeptic thinking. And it also is, as a narrative device in your work, is quite interesting, because I think you end up voicing probably what people are thinking, you know, as they're reading or as they're experiencing the teachings. Mm-hmm. And then the guides deal with that.
Yeah.
And I found it really comforting in a way, and intriguing to have your voice as part of the text.
And I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I sort of sometimes describe it, you know, for me, when I'm channeling, it's like I climb into the back seat of the car and I turn the steering wheel over to the guides. And sometimes, like, I'm in the back seat reading a magazine and sort of trying to ignore it all. And other times, you know, my ears are really cocked. And whenever I hear something that I'm confused by or challenged by, I lean over to the front seat and I say, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, and that's probably just my way of maintaining my own accountability to what I'm doing. You know, my name's on the cover. I didn't write the damn book. But, you know, I feel a sense of, I don't know, it's a responsibility to the integrity of what's happening, and that's part of the reason that I step forward. What's begun to happen, I think, which is interesting in the dictations, is the guides have begun to preempt my questions by saying, Paul has a question, when I actually don't quite have it formed yet. And that allows them to continue the dictation without my intrusion. They'll accept it when I do step in But I noticed it, I think, in the Book of Truth, that they would say, you know, Paul is interrupting, and I was about to, but I hadn't thought of how to say it yet, you know, and they'll explain their point without sort of veering off into a digression that I think could perhaps, you know, shift the focus of what they're trying to teach in a chapter.
Yeah, it's very, I just thought it was really interesting and cool to see that interaction. Can you tell us anything about who the guides are?
Well, you know, I can try. I mean, it's a group. They say that they're teachers. In the first book, they call themselves, they use the term ascended masters, which actually kind of concerned me because there's baggage attached to that. And I don't know a lot of the baggage, but I do understand that there's something of a lineage here. The name that they use, and they do use it in the Book of Mastery, and it's the name that I've heard for some time, is the name Melchizedek, you know, and they say, if you want to call us something, you can call us this. And the Melchizedeks, I understand, are a lineage of teachers, you know, and that's okay with me. I call them the guides because when my ex found out that I could do this stuff, used to say, ask the guides this, ask the guides that. And so they became the guides, and I'm really quite comfortable with that. You know, it's the energy and the language is my primary relationship. I know what it's like to be as them, because when they work with me and when I do groups, which I do very frequently, they'll often step in quite fully, and, you know, my eyes have been known to change color, and there's interesting phenomena that comes with this kind of thing. But, you know, I look at them as what they say they are, you know, teachers. And, you know, they're here to teach, and this is what they're here to teach. And, you know, they're not here to, I think, you know, solve our love life problems or give anybody the lucky numbers. I think that they've got, I actually had a client today who said, well, your guides give me the lucky numbers. And I said, boy, I think you're really calling the wrong guy.
Yeah.
It's not how they work, because their agenda is really different, you know.
Yeah. I hate that question too. I sometimes get it, you know, lottery numbers. And I mean, your guides are so much more high level than that. They're really, you know, teaching more about consciousness, enlightenment. Yeah. You know, the conversation in the Book of Mastery is really about how do we transcend the ego self and live fully in the divine self, which I think is an excellent topic. I mean, it's what else would you want to talk about, really?
Well, you're there, you know. I mean, you get it, you know. I don't know that I would have gotten it when I was 25 years old. I was raised something of an atheist, so I didn't know what a spiritual life was. I think I'd read half of the Seth book when I was drunk in grad school, you know, and I thought it was really interesting, but I didn't bother to finish the book. So, you know, the book, I think, and all of the guides' books seem to find their readers. And the guides say that they work with those who are working with the texts. You know, the books themselves are energetic attunements that work with the reader. And so people get to have these experiences. So for you to say, you know, that's the conversation to have means that you're there. For somebody else, you know, when somebody, I think, when or any of us gets really caught up in the duality of everything, it's harder. Because, you know, the small self or the egoic structure, you know, seeks to affirm its own power in every way that it can, you know. And you know, to be willing to move beyond that is a huge step for many of us.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I mean, I love the way that you talk about the divine self and the small self and the struggle between them. And I, you know, they really are, they're very compassionate, the guides, you know, and how they're, you know, sort of talking about the pain that we have when we let go of the egoic self and we try to step into that. It's very painful. It's very scary. And there, I feel like tremendous compassion. I was also very intrigued by the idea that reading the text can have an energetic impact or an imprint on us. Can you talk? I felt that, but can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the guides say that the books operate on multiple levels. There's the words on the page, which provide a context for the reader, an intellectual context, But they say that the real book is in the intention and the energy that informs it, that's what exists behind the words and between the words. All of the books have attunements. And, you know, the attunements, the guides say, are claims of truth. And what they're really doing, they say, is they're attuning us, the radios that we are, to play the higher stations. Those stations have always been there, and they've always been available, but we haven't tuned our radio to reach them because we didn't know that we could. So the language that they use, they say, is encoded to support this level of co-resonance. And they say once you're attuned, you're attuned. You know, and there are a number of attunements, and they actually all seem to build upon themselves. And many of them have an energetic resonance that's very palpable. They're all quite different, and I'm used to them because I work with them so often. And when I do workshops and groups, the guides are attuning, you know, 100 people at a time. And, you know, we all get to feel it and then understand what the differentiation is between, say, you know, one attunement that's working towards supporting us in realization in one way, and another attunement that's taking us hopefully somewhat beyond that. So that's how the books seem to operate. And the guide said in the very first book that that would be the experience of the reader. And for many of the readers, that seems to be the case. I mean, I used to look at the reviews on Amazon sometimes, you know, when the books were first coming out, and you'd see people say, you know, I'm reading the book and my body's vibrating, or I'm reading the book and I'm seeing auras. And, you know, the phenomena I like, and I like phenomena, I'm not overly attached to it, but, you know, I was raised without this stuff. I needed to feel it, see it, hear it, know it in some way. And so my first experiences really were with energy and, you know, clairaudience. There was phenomena. And when people have their own experience of the energy, it's real for them. And then they can claim it. And that, I think, is really valuable.
I do, too. I don't really ever believe in anything unless it's actually happened to me.
Yep.
Even as a psychic, and crazy things happen to me all the time, but I don't think I would believe in the crazy things that happen to me all the time if I wasn't directly experiencing them. So I think the idea of a book that gives you a direct experience of the teaching is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's how they work, you know, and I'm pleased that it's how they work because it helps me to trust it a bit more.
Right. And do you find the process works on you as well?
You know, I'm in the energy so much, and I think I'm so malleable at this point, you know, that I'm feeling a lot. But yeah, I do. You know, I don't think it's always comfortable. I don't think I often have the time to integrate or process, and partially it's because I'm channeling so much, and I'm working with the energies, you know, in direct ways. The guide said, it's a funny thing, they said to, you know, I was talking with a friend, and the friend asked me to tune in for myself, and the guide said, you know, well, Paul's job is to hold the door open for other people, you know, and then he gets to come through, and I was fairly dismayed to hear that. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound fair at all, and neither did the other psychic that I was talking to. But when they completed the last book, they invited everybody, this is the Book of Freedom, they invited all the readers to step over this threshold into this new way of being, and they said, and Paul, you get to come through as well. And what I realized then was that the books were the doorway, and that's what holding the doorway meant. I had to hold the doorway. I had to be the doorway for the books to come through so that I could go through the doorway as well. So that's my experience of it, you know. I certainly don't feel that I've ascended. I'd like to. I do feel that I'm certainly not the man that I used to be. And in many areas of my life is completely transformed. And I do work with the teachings in conscious ways. So that much I can say.
Good. Well, I would love to just take a minute, since we're almost at the end of our time here, to have you share how people can get your books and how people can get in touch with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, my website is paulselig.com, paulselig.com. There's information there on workshops. I do live streams pretty much every Wednesday night where the guides are lecturing and taking questions, and The workshops are all over the country and elsewhere. At this point, and the books you can get on any of the online sites or in most bookstores, you know. Amazon has them, Barnes & Noble usually carries them in stock in the stores, IndieBound, maybe your local bookseller, you know. So the books are out there and pretty easy to get, and they're on audiobooks as well. I think all of them are now.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I really, like I said, love your work. I'm going to read your next one. And really enjoyed it. You're really doing something great. And I appreciate you taking the time today to be on the radio with me.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. It was nice to speak with you.
Yeah. And thank all of you guys for joining me today here on The Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time here on Empower Radio.